The Holy Gospel according to St. John. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born again?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. But it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of our Lord.
As the congregation is seated, I invite my young friends forward. We have lots and lots of kids at 8:30, so I'll just take the smart guys today. All right. I think you're going to know all the answers. How many sides does a triangle have? Three.
Yep.
How many wheels does a tricycle have? Three. How many persons are in the triune God? Three. Good answer. Yeah, that's right. Today is the day of the Holy Trinity. What's the first three letters in Trinity? T-R-I, which means three, like tricycle or triangle or triune God. That's right. And so we're talking about three persons, three parts of one God. And what do you think they are? The Father, you gotta speak out loud, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's right. Just like this drawing on the cover. I don't know who drew this. Just like this great drawing on the cover here. This is a reminder that God works in three ways. God creates the world, God loves the world through Jesus, and God guides the world each day through the Holy Spirit. So all of these, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they're all called God, but then God is in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I want you to take your bulletin and count the number of times you see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit when I say it, or we say it in church, because it's a lot. And then on page 10, you can read the Nicene Creed, which we say every week, which describes all of the ways that as kids and grown-ups, we see how God works in these three persons. So that's really complicated, and sometimes it's even a lot for grown-ups to figure out. But the best thing about this is that we can remember that God works in a lot of ways, and God is always doing all these things. See how these rings stay together? They're never apart. Never are the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit separated. And so even if you God working in one of these ways, God is working in the other as well. You think we can remember that? All right. Listen to here if Emily says Father, Son, and Holy Spirit when Vicar Emily preaches this morning. You guys ready to say our prayer? Okay. Good morning, God.
Good morning, God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For making yourself known.
For making yourself known.
In so many ways.
In so many ways.
The love of the Father.
The love of the Father.
The love of the Son.
The love of the Son.
And the love of the Holy Spirit.
And the love of the Holy Spirit.
Help us.
Help us.
To receive the Trinity.
To receive the Trinity.
Each and every day.
Each and every day.
We love you, God.
We love you, God.
Amen. Amen. All right, go back to your seats.
Let us pray. May the words that dwell before us sink into the hearts of all who hear and speak your truth, O God. Amen. I love going to the movies. The smell of popcorn that hits when you walk through the doors invites you to escape reality for a short while. In the movies, you suspend your disbelief and descend into worlds where everything is possible. My favorite movies are the ones that keep me guessing, the ones that have plot lines that twist and turn, keeping me in suspense until the truth comes crashing down upon me, the ones that are uncertain until something big happens and the whole world changes. You can always sense when this is coming, when the world is about to be pushed over the breaking point. Our gospel today is like one of these movies. We have dynamic characters, the villain and the hero. We have mystery and suspense, activity that lurks in the night. We have a love story and world-tipping event that hits when we least expect it. Nicodemus, a Pharisee, an educated man of the Jewish faith, trusted with keeping and teaching the law of Moses, shows up unannounced in the night. He is a well-respected man, fully capable of traveling freely by day, known to many, and he comes in the darkness, in secret, in scandal, to Jesus, who welcomes him in without hesitation. As Nicodemus enters into the presence of Jesus, he bears his humanity. He bears his questions, his wondering, his belief in disbelief. His education as a man of God compels him to recognize that something isn't typical about Jesus, that within the person of Jesus lies something entirely divine. Nicodemus says to him, "Rabbi, we all know you're a teacher straight from God. No one could do all the God-pointing, God-revealing acts that you do if God weren't in on it." For Nicodemus, the respected teacher of Israel, these questions and this realization shakes the foundation of his life. It upsets everything that he's known to be true. So he comes in the darkness, in secret, full of curiosity. And in his coming and in his questions, everything changes. Every extraordinary experience sparks from the ordinary, and Jesus transforms what was an inconspicuous evening into a remarkable, life-changing event. Like any good movie, the plot turns. Today is Holy Trinity Sunday, the day that we celebrate the triune God, the three in one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In this conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus, we see the fullness of God as Jesus refers to all three persons of the Trinity. Jesus explains that God is the one who loves the world and who, unwilling to let it perish, gives the Son, the fully human and fully divine Jesus, to save it, to save us. This happens not by chance, but in the unsuspecting power of the Holy Spirit that cannot be seen or touched, like the wind that sweeps through the trees that we can't see if it's coming or going. You can feel the tension of the scene that mounts between Nicodemus and Jesus. Nicodemus continues to question, asking how and why, and Jesus returns each question with more truth. Be born of me. Find your identity in me. Forget your flesh, it's only temporary. But your spirit is of me, and I am of you. Nicodemus stands in front of Jesus, courageous for even showing up in the first place. And he still just doesn't get it. But Jesus is patient, saying three times to him, "Very truly I tell you." Each time he says this, he frees Nicodemus from the limits of his human understanding. Nicodemus is so blinded by the realities of his world that he cannot see clearly what sits in front of him. We are so blinded by the realities of our world that we can't see clearly the Jesus that sits in front of us. We are Nicodemus, armed with the breadth of knowledge and worldly understanding, and yet so often blind to the Jesus that sits with us. But this is not the end of the story. This is just the climb to the life-altering tipping point. As we read this text, we become witnesses to what Jesus did on that night in the darkness with Nicodemus, and what Jesus does in real and tangible and life-giving ways today. We become witnesses to God's reality on earth. We become witnesses not to an ideology, but to the movement of God. We are suddenly standing alongside Nicodemus, bound by our physical bodies and limited understanding, about to have our minds blown by a completely new way of seeing and being in the world. Very truly, I tell you, your brokenness does not define you. Very truly, I tell you, your sin does not define you. Very truly, I tell you, your limitedness does not define you. Instead, Jesus flips the world upside down and tells us just how much God loved the world. Jesus tells us that God loved the world so much that God gave the Son, the one and only Son, that no one will be destroyed, but instead have life. But not just a simple and meager life, but life abundantly. That promise changes everything. It launches the transformation of Nicodemus from questioning leader to a witness of the movement of God in this world, for you and for me, and for the depths of the brokenness that dwells in, around, and among us. This promise changes us. It folds us into a love so strong and permanent that our whole lives become a reaction to it. Like Nicodemus, our lives become the witness to the world of the character of God. The movement of God is Trinitarian. It is physical through the Son, spiritual through the Spirit, and divine through the Father. As people born of water and spirit through our baptisms, we too embody and witness the movement of the Trinity. We live out the work of the triune God in how we love ourselves, our neighbors, and all of creation. We cannot compartmentalize this to 1 hour on one day. It is who you are. In God's abounding love for you, shown through the death and resurrection of Christ on the cross, you are God's greatest love story meant to be witnessed by the world. The movement of God blurs and smudges the lines by which we have ordered our lives, and that movement never stops. The movement of our lives as God's people is the movement of God's full self, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. During this late night conversation, Jesus invites Nicodemus to wake up, be born again, to move beyond the limits of his occupation and title and join the movement alongside a God that loves him fully, as he is, full of questions and doubts. And Jesus knows that we are suspicious too. Jesus knows that we are trapped by our need for tangible, provable facts. Yet in this conversation, Jesus doesn't stop there. We are called to join the movement. Despite ourselves, we are made witnesses. We are not witnesses of our own understanding, but of God's action and movement for the world. This thrilling story of God's work in the world, in and through us, unfolds, and without even realizing it, it becomes our story. We are Nicodemus. When we pull up a chair at the table to receive the bread and the wine, when we affirm the faith of our young people, when we welcome our brothers for a night of rest, when we join for study and wine, and when you send each other out into the world with love and blessings, you are the witnesses to the fullness of God. This did not just happen that night in the dark. It happens daily through you in the light of day. Hear this, my friends. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, the life of Christ, and the love of the Father, you are the handiwork of God's love for the world. You are the fullness of a love that does not condemn, but a love that promises a life more eternal and more abundant than what we can even imagine. So invite someone into this story that needs to hear that their questions and their doubts are welcome. Tell them that whether they're more comfortable coming in night or in the day, there is a place for them here. And perhaps that's you, in which case that invitation absolutely stands. This story is your story. This story is our story. Even with your doubts and your questions, tell them a story of how the triune God is at work in you, in this church, in this community, and in all the unexpected places. Tell of the life-shocking, life-tipping, whirlwind love story of Jesus. Tell the story of the Father, the Creator who literally created the world for you. Tell the story of the Spirit that accompanies you at every turn, even when you can't see or hear her. The triune God is the story that doesn't end when the credits roll, but it guarantees to always be life-tipping. Tell this story. Tell your story. You are a witness to the action and love of God in this world. And while you're at it, share your popcorn. Great stories are so much better with popcorn. Amen.